remember the time to sing a few verses around. So we turn to the New Testament just for a few verses, please, in Mark's Gospel. Mark's Gospel in chapter 10. Mark's Gospel in chapter 10, and we'll read from verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry and said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called, and they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. I'm sure the Lord will add a blessing to the reading of his word. Now it's a joy for me to be here with you in Vancouver tonight. We have enjoyed the day with the saints here. It's my joy now to tell you something concerning the greatness of the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. We want to tell you tonight concerning the one who came from the splendors of glory and the one who paid a great price for everyone at Calvary's cross. We want to tell you tonight about a cross. We want to tell you about a Savior. We want to tell you about blood that was shed on your account. Now, seeing it's my first time in Vancouver, I'd like just to take a few minutes to tell you how the Lord Jesus Christ, how I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. It's always a joy to look back to the day when you came to know Him as your Savior. And tonight we're looking back, and while we don't think it's many years, it's a few years now since we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We think we're still young yet, and we'd like to think we are, but you know, we look back to young days. And I always remember when attending gospel meetings that we were fervent and full of life after we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. And I just wish sometimes we had the same fervour and flavour as we had in that day. Now I'm going back to Scotland, of course. I was born and brought up, of course, in a place called Stenhouse Muir in Larbert. And that is where we attended the Gospel Hall in Stenhouse Muir. Now it was my privilege, my great privilege, to be brought up in a Christian home. Now that's a privilege that we deny when we are young. It's a privilege we don't really appreciate. But my, when you look back and think of parents who looked after us, and how that we were guided and guarded from the ways of the world, and how that we were taken along to hear more concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we weren't poor, but we weren't rich people. I was brought up in what we call in Scotland a rooming kitchen. My father was a bus driver at that time, and he worked some peculiar hours, starting at 4 a.m. in the morning one week, and of course the tasks for him were different to what you have today, because at 4 o'clock in the morning, his first task on a Monday morning was always to light the coal in the boiler of the washhouse so that my mother could do the washing on a Monday. I always remember that, really, because of the meeting situation. Now I had a sister also. There was only two of us. My mother, father had a sister. And both of us, of course, were brought up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. You know, in those days, the saints were fervent, and the preaching of the gospel was fervent, and we were really made to understand where we stood and what was the result if we neglected God's way of salvation. Now, going back to our thoughts on the Monday morning, I always thought, being taken to all the meetings, that there was the Sunday meetings, there was the Monday meeting, there was the Wednesday meetings. My mother worked hard in the house, and she did a large washing, and we lived three flights up, and it was quite a lot of work, and always thought, well, maybe on Monday night we'll get off the prayer meeting because it's so much work to be done. But no, there was a fervency, and the result was that we were taken along to the prayer meeting on a Monday night, and we were taken along to the Bible reading on a Wednesday night, and of course to all the meetings on a Sunday. And as I say, looking back on that, it was really a pleasure for us to look back on these days. My mother never kept well. My father was a person who kept well enough, but he had an infirmity on his legs. He was like a Jacob really in his latter days, but he did keep leaning upon his staff. Now I remember when the gospel was preached in these days, of the note of warning that was always given concerning the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm sure that I knew God's way of salvation quite well. I knew that he had come to die on account of my sin, and that great price was paid at Calvary's cross. My dear friend, tonight, if you're in here unsaved, and if you still don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, this is your night of opportunity, as it was my night of opportunity when 13 years of age in the Gospel Hall in Stenhouse Muir, I came to know him. We heard so often about the Lord Jesus Christ having left. He says, I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. We heard that word from 1 Thessalonians 4 so often. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The words of Revelation chapter 20 concerning those are written, names written in a book, and that name that's not found written will be cast into the lake of fire. My dear friends, so many years ago, these were real to me, and I can tell you tonight, they're still real. God's word is still true, and every word that's written here is a warning to you and to me to flee from the wrath to come, for wrath there will be. So as I say, I attended the gospel meetings, and that always was in my mind, the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ. As our brother has said already tonight, if the Lord Jesus Christ comes tonight and you are not saved, we must be faithful tonight and tell you you'll be cast into a lost eternity. Hell is a reality, and hell will be your portion for the Christ rejecter tonight. So having heard that, heard the gospel message so often, just to be brief, one night in the gospel hall, the gospel was preached. Now I couldn't tell you what the preacher spoke about. I couldn't really tell you a word, because I was thinking back to these sleepless nights that I had had, wondering if the Lord Jesus Christ had come, moving towards my parents' room to hear if they were still breathing, to see if they were still in the body, and to see that they were still with them, thinking that the Lord Jesus Christ had come and that I had been left for judgment. Those things were so real to me on that night, the closing verses of that hymn that were given out tonight, 273 in the Redemption Hymn Book. Only a step to Jesus, then why not take it now? Come, thy heart confess it, and he will receive you now. The voice of the Lord Jesus Christ is the same tonight. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Well, on that occasion I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Saviour. I accepted him as my Saviour that night. He's never failed me, but so often we fail him. And in the words of the hymn writer tonight, again we can say, he'll do better for you than this world can do. He's a mighty Saviour. He is good and true. I received him that night. I can recommend him to you tonight as the one who will be ever by your side. That constant companion, the everlasting arms which are outstretched to support and to guide on the pathway. Oh, my dear friend tonight, will you receive that word? Will you be like me in that day? Just come in simple faith to acknowledge him as your Saviour. I remember leaving the hall that night with a few. We used to go for a walk. It was a rather country place in these days. I can see where we walked. I can see those who my companion with. And it's sad, isn't it, when we look back and see that they've gone back. They've turned their back upon the Lord Jesus Christ. They've gone in another way. But oh, tonight, even for the backslider, think about that father who had a love for his son. And he stood there and he was yearning that his son would receive. And how that the son could say that he had wasted his substance in riotous living. He'd arise and go to his father and he would tell him this and he would tell him that. But the father was standing with outstretched arms to receive him. And if you're a backslider tonight, if you've grown cold in the pathway, the Lord Jesus Christ will welcome you tonight and welcome you back to himself. We've read tonight concerning a story that is told concerning the movements of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we would go through Mark's Gospel, as we would go through any Gospel, we see a Saviour who was ever busy. One who had ever an eye on men and women, an eye on their need, and an eye to move in compassion toward each one. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ had a short lifetime, and yet it was during that lifetime that many came to know him through the love and the compassion that he showed to them. We're reading here tonight about blind Bartimaeus, this poor man who was beckoned to rise. Now, as we know, this meeting was made in Jericho. And this meeting was made on the final journey of our Lord Jesus Christ as he made his way from Jericho to Jerusalem. He knew the sorrows of the way which he was taking. He knew all that would be accomplished at Jerusalem. He knew he would go outside the city. He knew he'd bear his cross. He knew he'd be uplifted on that centre cross. And he's making this final journey. Now, it was a final journey when blind Bartimaeus met him. We've been reminded tonight already about final journeys. This may be your final journey tonight in life. You know, it matters not whether you're old or whether you're young. Tomorrow is not yours. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. So therefore we must make preparation. we make preparation for so much in life. For months past, I have made preparation concerning this visit to Vancouver, the islands and roundabout, and made that preparation, but it was only if the Lord will. And anything could have happened, and yet we're standing here tonight to tell about the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's a final journey and a final opportunity made by two blind Bartimaeus. One to meet him, and one to hear him, and one to give to him what he required in the journey. Now, as we go through life, of course, there are different stages in our life. There's the spring of life. There's the summer of life. There's the autumn of life. And, of course, there is the winter of life. We all pass through, subject to our health and strength and to the goodness of God, whether we're young, middle-aged, or whether we're old. It's all subject to the permissive will of God. And yet, as he's moving through this place, this great opportunity is given to him. We're reminded, of course, in God's word, it's appointed unto man that he'll die, and after death the judgment, to meet a Saviour, and to meet him as your judge. I'm reminded of a very large court case that took place in Scotland. There was a man there who was called Mr. Cameron, who was a solicitor, a very eminent solicitor he was, and handled many cases very well for his clients. He stood before and pled before the judge on their behalf, and they were then, of course, either sentenced or they were let off. Well, Lord, Mr. Cameron, as he was as a solicitor, dealt with a man who was called Peter Manuel. Now, Peter Manuel was known in Scotland as the mass murderer. And Peter Manuel, on many occasions before he did his mass murders, stood with Mr. Cameron, who pled on his behalf. And he, of course, was released and allowed to go on his way, apart from the time when Mr. Cameron became Lord Cameron. He became a different man. He wasn't the solicitor pleading with the judge, the Lord. He was now the Lord to whom the solicitors pled. You know, Peter Manuel came before Lord Cameron, and of course he would look upon him in a different light. And, of course, the sentence was given by Lord Cameron that he would die. My dear friend, tonight, that story illustrates, doesn't it, that our pleading tonight is for you, and our pleading is that there's one in heaven, and he's pleading with you tonight, and forgiveness can be yours through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. But ere you die and stand before him as your judge, if you have not accepted him as your Saviour, you'll be cast out. Depart from me, I never knew you. Blind Bartimaeus, we read, don't we, reminding God's word, the God of this world is blinding the eyes of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, Jesus Christ, should shine in. Blind Bartimaeus was a man who was born blind. All the beauties of the world he had never seen. And yet, the glorious revelation that he receives from the Lord Jesus Christ is something which fills and satisfies his very soul. I've heard about the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm sure you've heard on many occasions concerning him. He was poor, it says, he sat by the highway side begging. But this was his great opportunity on that occasion. We're reminded, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able, when once the master of the house is risen up and has shut the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto me. And he stood, I know thee not, depart from me. Now there were days, of course, in Noah's day, we think of Noah's day, we think of other days, we think of the picture in Matthew's Gospel of those 10 virgins. 5 were wise, 5 had oil in their lamps, 5 hadn't, that they go and buy. But when they came back, the door was shut, and they could knock, and yet he could say to them, no entry for you. Depart from me, I never knew you. But here, blind Bartimaeus, he heard the Lord Jesus Christ. He heard about him. He heard about the man who had, the woman had just touched the hem of his garment. He had heard all about the great work that he had done. And the cry of blind Bartimaeus was, as the Lord Jesus Christ approached on that final occasion, Thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. And that was the cry of that man, Thou Son of David, have mercy. The cry of your heart tonight is your cry tonight. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy upon me. Accept him as your Savior. But you know, there were those in that day who told blind Bartimaeus to be quiet, to cease his calling. But it says, he cried yet the more, Thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. His anxiety was to get near the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friend, on that occasion it says in Mark's Gospel, Jesus stood still. Jesus stood still. He's standing still tonight. And as we've said, he's beckoning you to come unto him, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And everyone must give an account to him. And that's why our cry to you tonight is, in simplicity, incline your ear, incline your ear, only believe. And like those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we can say of a truth tonight, and through us who believe, he is precious. So the cry of the blind man, it says he cast away his garment. There was something keeping blind Bartimaeus from coming to the Savior. He cast away his garment and he came to the Savior. Is there anything in your life? Is there anything in your life keeping you back? Is there something holding you back from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, tonight, can I say, cast it away. Get rid of us like Bartimaeus. Get rid of that great burden from your back, that great burden of sin. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. It's free, it's without money, and it's without price. Blind Bartimaeus came, and he rejoiced, it says. That great mercy was bestowed upon him, and he followed the Lord Jesus Christ on the way. But my dear friend, that's the story, so far as blind Bartimaeus is concerned. But I'd just like for a minute to follow the Lord Jesus Christ as he's making that final journey. He's going up to Jerusalem. He's going to pay that great price for our redemption. He leaves there and he makes that final journey up to Jerusalem. And there in Jerusalem, we are reminded, of course, not many days before he's taken into Gethsemane, that they were shouting their hosannas concerning the one who rode upon the colt, the foal of the ass. And yet we see one again tonight in Gethsemane's garden, where the Bible tells us he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. Father, not my will, but thine be done. Oh, we'll never enter into what it cost the Lord Jesus Christ to make that final journey. He crossed from Gethsemane, he was taken with wicked hands. He was taken from Gethsemane before Annas and before Caiaphas. We think of a Pilate who could say, whom shall I release unto you? The cry of the mob in that day was, away with this man, We will not have this to reign over us. Is that the cry of your heart tonight? Away with this man. We will not have this to reign over us. Ah, my dear friend, they cried away with him. Pilate pled, but Pilate had to fall in with the demands of the people. And the Lord Jesus Christ was taken to that place called Gabbatha. And there in Gabbatha, we are reminded of that crown of thorns that was placed upon that lovely head. We are reminded of that robe that was put upon him. We think again tonight, my dear friend, of the one who, bearing his cross, went outside the city wall to cruel Golgotha's hill, and uplifted on that centre cross, the one of the malefactor could say he hath done nothing amiss. And the one, my dear friend, who was uplifted on that centre cross, died in your account and on mine. He paid that great price for our redemption. The blood was shed on our account. And we do rejoice again tonight that we don't only tell you about one who died, but we do rejoice tonight to tell you about one who was raised the third day according to the Scriptures and is now seated at God's right hand, a Prince and a Saviour. He's pleading for you tonight, my dear friend. He's pleading at your heart's door. Will you open the door of your heart tonight? Let the Saviour in. Will your cry tonight be that of a blind Bartimaeus? Have mercy upon me. Oh, I do pray tonight, my dear friend, as we reach 8:30, that you will tonight know the joy of sins forgiven, that burden lifted, and be bound for heaven and for hope. Shall we pray? Blessed God, we come before thee in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We return thanks again for the privilege to herald forth again this wonderful story of salvation. We thank thee for the story that we have to tell. We thank thee for the greatness of the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for such a great debt that we owe. We thank thee, blessed God, for the one who died. We thank thee for kind hands that took him down. We thank thee for the kindness of those who came to the garden to seek him. But oh, we rejoice that we are reminded, he is not here, he is risen. We thank thee for a risen Saviour. We do rejoice tonight, blessed God, for the one who is seated at thy right hand, making intercession for us. And pray again tonight for the gospel that goes forth wherever it has gone forth. The deciding grace will be given to those tonight to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour. Remember meetings that will yet take place. We pray for thy servants, and pray for any in our gathering tonight who know not the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour, that this may be the night when they'll turn from darkness unto light and know the joy of sins forgiven, as we return thanks in the worthy and precious name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ.